Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I got stuff for you.
Holy moly.
I need to get some snakes and release them around my house.
But they love eating people. They love eating kids.
These guys are the scientists of the supernatural, lecturers leaving lessons for inquiring laymen. They are applying the scientific method to a world that baffles science. They are the cryptids of the corn.
Every day that you open your mouth,
I know, right?
I'm more convinced that you're abducted by aliens.
No.
And it just stood up. I mean, it just like kept going and going. And she goes, what the?
These are idiots.
I was laughing reading this because I already knew how you would feel.
Idiot. What part of the story fits your balloon?
Well,
this isn't a UFO. Yeah.
But who else has big black wings and red eyes?
Batman.
Oh, Mothman.
Oh, yeah, Mothman.
Well, everyone, I think we know exactly what it is. So say it all with me. It was the Sandhill Crane.
Would you try it?
No.
You wouldn't eat it?
No.
Why?
Because they're probably toxic.
There'd be a lot of poop in my pants. Seen a 6-foot alligator go swinging through the air and slam into a tree?
Welcome back to Cryptids of the Corn podcast. I am the great and powerful Mr. E.
And I'm Jay Clone 71. 171. Very important.
Just having a reflecting day and thinking back about how this all started. And do you think almost 3 years ago now, do you think I'd be in here screaming?
Or we'd still be doing
the great and powerful mystery
with
a cape and a mushroom hat and a corn hat and
with a cardboard cutout of Danny DeSquanco staring
Danny DeFrago
through our souls. Yeah. With very disturbing short shorts that we never really addressed.
Are they jorts?
They're purple jorts.
Are they purple?
Yeah.
I think you, I don't know.
You're colorblind.
I can see purple. All right. No, so let's talk about some stuff. So it's Wednesday. Lucas sent in a clarification email with a sketch. I'll try to post it on the Facebook page when this comes out.
As for referencing the last episode we did with Lucas.
Lucas's Paranormal Corner, I think is what we called it. Something roughly like that. Giant hyenas. And
yeah.
Which we're going to talk about. And then the monkey man looking in.
Yeah, that's friendly.
It's not. It's not friendly. Also, I wanted to say thank you to Dane. This was months ago he sent this. Him and his mom sent it. Dane is a young man I did an interview with about giants and stuff like that for his school project. He's awesome. Their family's great. And they sent a felt storyboard to make like shapes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Make their own stories. Sent a cool picture, a drawing that'll be hanging up in the studio. But I just want to say thank you because I know you sent it during my stay or right at the beginning of my stay.
Oh, at the Ronald McDonald's?
Up at Ronald McDonald House. So it kind of got lost in the shuffle of stuff. So I just wanted to take some time and say thank you guys very much. Yeah.
Yes. Thank you, Dane.
Also,
hope you got an A on that project.
He did.
Good.
He's homeschooled.
Good. Oh, okay. Good. Even better.
No. Yeah. No, homeschool your kids.
Yes.
For real. I also wanted to say, remember, if you want to send us anything, stickers for the bus, anything. Jay here is actually wearing a t-shirt that was sent in for him.
Yeah, from the bowling team up in Maine. The Creeps.
The Creeps.
Yeah, the Creeps bowling team.
And that is P.O. Box 75, Ada, Ohio, 45810. It'll be in the description below.
Send us something to make us smile.
I always love going there and finding stuff. We haven't got anthrax or anything like that yet, so that's always awesome. And then one of these days, somebody's going to put powdered sugar there or something like that just to really mess with somebody.
Yeah, I think our P.O. box, the ladies at the post office may cancel that.
Like, yeah, you know, this is a big box full of powdered sugar.
I was going to say, the garlic.
We also do get 50 pounds of garlic sent dust, to us. So. Yeah.
It's like, that's probably enough for them. If you do anything else over top of that, we're going to get shut
down.
That
one time there was a bunch of them broken.
Yeah, oh yeah.
They're like, it reeks in here.
But it's a good reek,
at least. It's a good smell, but garlic, when it's pungent. They make really strong garlic.
Stings the nostrils.
So when there's four or five of those jars broken and it's like literally falling out of the box.
Yeah.
It did. The whole post office smelled like a garlic factory.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
And they were all hungry for 2 weeks.
Ohio Bigfoot Jamboree's coming up.
Woo! October 5th.
Ticket holders. I got two announcements for ticket holders. There will be something Friday night for ticket holders. We're still working on that. I got to send an email out here in a minute. But yeah, so be on the lookout. I will email you through Eventbrite with that extra information. So be on the lookout for an email through Eventbrite.
Yeah, so Ohio Bigfoot Jamboree, October 5th. And, well, for ticket holders, October 4th as well.
But the vendors market is free for anybody to come from the public. Everybody come hang out for the day, all of our locals, all of our non-locals. I know we got people from Oklahoma coming. I know we got people from Australia coming.
Yep.
So it's going to be a lot of fun.
And we'll be bleeding out information week by week. Any new stuff we definitely got other stuff we have not announced coming out as far as a full detailed speakers list and things like
that. It's on the website, so.
It's on the website, but we'll start just like that, like little information like that, more activities. Anything we got added, we're adding, you'll see updates right here on the show or on our website, cryptsofthecorn.com.
Yep, and that's where you can get your tickets too. Also, go to the How Bigfoot Jamboree tab under the cryptsofthecorn.com.
Yeah.
Tickets are already one-third sold out.
Sweet.
And there's still 4 months to go.
It's going
to
be fun, you guys.
It's going to be a lot of fun. And it's like the first one, we're going to learn how to do this, you know, get some feedback and make next year even bigger and better. It's the first annual.
Right. First annual.
Yeah.
Presented by Cryptids of the Corn.
Also, I wanted to announce that the event t-shirts, there's going to be two options for you. It'll be coming onto the website underneath the Ohio Bigfoot Jamboree tab. Where you can either pre-order your t-shirt to pick up at the event, and you don't have to pay shipping.
Okay.
Or you can just order your t-shirt to be sent to your house right now and then, like right now when it's on the website.
Yes, and that's just for those that bought tickets?
No, anybody can buy
it. Oh, anyone can buy a t-shirt.
I would love to see everybody in Ohio Bigfoot Jamboree t-shirt.
That would be awesome,
at the event. So you can either pre-order them and pick them up at the event, so you'll save a couple bucks on shipping, or you can get them shipped to your house directly.
So you can show up with it already on.
Yeah. But yeah, so some people asked for that. So I was like, yep, it'll be this is coming out as of recording this in like 2 weeks from when we're recording this. So it'll probably already be on there by the time this episode comes out.
Check it out, cryptsofthecorn.com.
And we may have two or three different styles of t-shirt because some people already contacted me with making some Ohio Bigfoot Jamboree t-shirts.
For us?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But that one that the Flavors of Forest guys already made for us, that'll be the first one.
That'll be the main.
Yeah, the Ohio Bigfoot Jamboree. I love that. Very Buckeye.
Yes. Speaking of Flavors of the Forest.
Wait, don't worry. We'll put their ad in later.
All right. Speaking of garlic and all that good stuff.
But yeah, so it's going to be a lot of fun. We're speakers. It's going to be a lot of a fun time.
It's going to be a jamboree.
It's going to be a jamboree. And we got music. We already got music.
Yeah.
So, but if anybody, also, we still have some music space available. If you want to come out, play out, so we've kind of discussed it. We really can't, you know, me and Jay are doing this out of pocket this first year, so we really can't pay any bands or anything to come out. If you want to come out and set up a tip jar, that's kind of been the arrangement that we've worked with some people already. So if you email us, you know, either message us, email us, get a hold of us. I think we have 3 time slots left for the whole day.
Sweet.
And I know you're going to talk to a band locally.
Yep, Nana's Camaro.
But you got to get them to agree first. So
I can talk them into anything.
I may fill them up before you even go talk to them because you're a little slow to do anything.
Let's call them after this episode.
I doubt it. I doubt you. All right, ready to get into Lucas's corrections?
Yes.
Or clarifications.
Clarifications, yes.
First, he said awesome. Thank you. He was so excited to hear stories on the show.
I'm glad he sent it.
If you guys want to email us your encounters, it's at cryptsofthecornpodcast@gmail.com. Please send them in. We'll read them on the show. So remember, I don't change people's stories. So how you write them in the email is how I will read them on the air.
Pretty much.
I don't like editing. Like, I don't like messing with people's stories. Some I'll do a little bit if there's repeat words and stuff like that. Like, I type "and" twice
right,
constantly.
Yeah. Right.
But for the most part, I don't like changing anybody's stories. So So I'll read your emails word for word. Thank you both. So dear Justin and Jay, thank you both so much. I really enjoyed the show and glad to hear my stories told. And hopefully this helps some others. I have some clarification remarks. They are absolutely on me. I hadn't expected my email to be read on the show directly. I also have a very rough sketch of the monkey man in my window. And for Jay, it was absolutely not friendly in any way. Haha. I just thought that was funny, just right off the rip, because you were so hardcore. It's
like, he's a good guy.
He's a good guy. You know, it's little kid's bedroom, and there's a man, monkey man, peering in. I watch too much SVU for that to be a good thing.
It just wants to make sure you're safe.
You know, let's take out the monkey for a second. If there's a man sticking his head in the window at 2 a.m. in a little kid's room staring at him, SVU's being called.
What's SVU?
Special Victims Unit.
Oh, okay, so you're going to kill him.
Or rape.
Or rape, okay.
Yeah.
That's not good.
No, it's not. No. Yeah. That's not I think good. The word that I said implied that it wasn't good.
Yeah, that's not good.
Mm-hmm. But yeah. Well, I'd first like to sincerely apologize for all the grammatical and spelling errors in the first email. Lucas, you do not need to apologize. First off, I can't read.
Yeah.
I can't write. I can't spell.
I'm going to say whether they're in there or not, no one would notice.
Yeah. No, it's half of them were probably me. First off, the horse-sized hyena would be maybe 5'7" to 6' at the shoulder. That would have gotten a look. And that's what I had gotten a look at as we were driving past. Me and the two buddies were coyote calling at the rim of the canyon and started to smell elk with something else very unpleasant. My buddy is a native descendant and I have some in me as well. So, you know, speaking to the size of the giant hyena-like creature,
mm-hmm.
you know, big, 6', you know, at the shoulder. Which most, you know, most horses, like I said, I said it the week we did this, maybe not. You know, we recorded that weeks ago as of recording this one.
Right.
So, you know, I think paint horses are roughly 14 to 15 hands high, which would be about that 5.5 to 6' tall range. So your average horse, not a big draft horse or something like that.
Why do they measure horses in hands?
I used to know the answer. I don't remember.
What and how big is a hand?
It's your hand.
So
no, it's like 7 inches, I think, or something like that. It's just one of those like hold back things.
Yeah, I was just curious where or why,
like a cubit.
Where it started, why. Ooh, we need to go back cubits. We should. Let's do that. You just us around here measure everything in cubits. It's a new movement.
Both of our ears started ringing heavy. So we decided to hop back in the truck. While we were driving out and came around the stand of Jupiter trees, there was a cow elk and her calf in a panic running, coming straight at us. The road curved to the right slightly, and another patch of Jupiter trees. I hit the curve before the elk hit the road. While scanning back to the right for more elk, is when I saw the back end or backing up to the shoulder of the creature that I had seen. I called it a hyena because it had back legs, which seemed muscular compared to the frame and the weight of the animal that they were attached to, being probably only 2 foot tall from the very narrow rump, the slope up to the very high shoulders, you know, to the aforementioned height. So very low, like the back legs,
the back
2 foot long.
Yeah.
Compared to the front legs, you know, would be 6' at the shoulder.
Yeah.
So very hyena-esque.
Are hyenas that, is it, are they that big?
That's
of a
pretty
difference?
Extreme.
I was going to say, it's very extreme, it seems like.
Oh, it's hard to tell because hyenas aren't that big.
Yeah.
So if you blew a hyena up to being that size, that may be that extreme.
Right, yeah.
Sorry, let me get back to where I was. It only reminded me in the build of a spotted hyena. I never got a look at the head, and I was 16 at the time. So that's it for the hyena corrections or clarifications.
Right.
So I didn't really get to see the head. And that's kind of something we talked about that last episode was, you know, was it really hyena in the face or was it just... So he was saying it was very hyena-esque in the build. So I kind of really wonder if it was a bulldog bear or the you know, we talked about these out west when we did the giant bears in North America.
Yeah.
Or giant bears episode. That they talk about these bulldog bears, which had that kind of short hump, the short rump and the big shoulders. They may have been short-faced bears. They also called them, I think they called them bison killers or buffalo killers.
Hmm.
You remember that episode at all?
Vaguely.
It was like a year ago. I don't remember.
I do, but not the details.
Yeah. But and that's kind of where they were. I wonder if we see one of the last Buffalo Killers.
That would have been, now how crazy would that have been?
I mean, that's big. That's bigger than any grizzly alive today.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy as far as
6 foot at the shoulder is bigger. Yeah. That's like, that has to be a short faced bear. There's very few bears
that are that tall
that have gotten that big in history.
Mm-hmm.
Polar bears aren't even 6 foot tall to shoulder.
Really?
Huh. Now they can. So when they say polar bears are 13 foot tall, oh, they mean standing up.
Oh, I know that. It just feel like they should be taller than that.
I think their most polar bears are going to be right around the 5 foot mark at the shoulder for the big ones.
Wow, man, what a beast! What a freaking beast! A polar bear.
And then short faced bears were the worst.
Oh my gosh! Imagine if that's what it was, Lucas. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. If Lucas saw a short faced, like the last. Remaining.
One of the last short-faced bears, especially in the lower 48.
Yeah.
I think there are probably decent populations of them in northern Canada, like the Yukon and Alaska. Like
way up in the remotes, yeah.
But just because there's no people.
Exactly.
And that's when we talked about when the giant bears episode, the people that have killed these freaks, these giant, like they're like world record grizzly bears that look odd, have always been from the Yukon. And they go to the edge of the Yukon, and then one of these things wander out.
So you think
kill one.
Like mixed breeding, maybe?
It could be that, or it could be a juvenile.
Like so we got Pizzlies, which are polar bear grizzlies.
Yeah, and that's becoming more and more common.
So what's a short-faced polar...
Shorties?
I got nothing.
Short-faced bear, short-faced grizzlies?
Polar-faced bear?
Oh, you mean, are they mixing with polar bears?
Yeah. Polar bears.
They probably aren't mixing with polar bears.
Why not? Come on, everyone needs a friend.
I don't think they're in that same area. I think the only reason Pizzlies are becoming more common is because polar bears are wandering to the edge of grizzlies and they have no mates.
So they wouldn't do the same thing with short-faced?
I think short-faced bears are maybe a little too aggressive for that kind of behavior.
Okay.
Because like grizzly bears are fine like, with living in close proximity to other grizzly bears.
Yeah. Short-faced probably no.
Well, polar bears don't do that.
Gotcha.
They only do it to mate. And then there's still a chance they're going to kill each other after. In that process.
Yeah.
So I think the short-faced bear is probably going to be very similar to that with being how big they are.
Yeah. If they tried to mate, they would
probably burn each other first. It's sexually dimorphic almost always. Males are bigger than females.
Okay.
And most of the time, the female doesn't get as much of a choice in the breeding as males do. They're very pushy.
Okay.
That's hard for a polar bear to push the only other bear that's ever been bigger than it.
Yeah, true. That is true.
So to me, it just would be less like... I'm not saying they don't hybridize if they're still there. I don't think there's a lot of them.
That'd be one heck of a beast.
I think it would just be like a white, short-faced bear.
I think the proper word is called a nightmare.
A nightmare. Yeah, there you go.
Yes.
Yeah, but no, I wonder if Lucas did see one of the last.
That would be awesome.
I think they were around. I think they were all over. Like we talked about in that episode, bulldog bears and all these other weird names for them, cow killers, buffalo killers, which were described as almost like giant hyenas, kind of, or bears, and that's because short-faced bears had a very unique look. They had a much wider, like a bulldog head.
Yeah.
A much more hyena-like face, you know, a flattened face, because they were just designed to, whatever they bit needed to die.
Yeah. what if it was a ground sloth?
Now, that's another thought. We don't know a lot about ground sloths, so it's hard to imagine them running in my head. They didn't run a lot.
It was running?
Yeah, it was running away.
Yeah.
But I think you also would have noticed the tail.
Ground sloths have tails?
Giant tails.
Oh.
I don't know of any species.
Oh, you're right.
I may be wrong. Right. I don't know of any ground sloths that didn't have a super large tail.
Yep, you're right. Because
they used it for counterbalance and stuff like that.
When they stand up and stuff, right?
Yeah. They need it because they're so big and they're not designed to be bipeds. They're designed to walk quadrupedal,
right.
4 feet.
Yep.
And then they stand up to feed or for defense. So you need that big, heavy counterbalance to make sure they can stand up and
swing
fight.
And not fall forward.
Yeah.
Because normal sloths, like now, like 2- and 3-toed sloths, they don't have tails, right?
Right.
Okay.
And when we talk about 2- and 3-toed sloths, they're kind of interesting because they're not very close related, even though they look really similar.
Yeah.
But they're from the two different giant branches of sloth.
That's crazy.
Another option, if you want to go the prehistoric animal route, is calicotheriums.
I don't know what that is.
They were called like horse apes.
Horse apes?
Yeah, they're on an ark too. But they walked on all fours. They're kind of like ground sloth without a tail. But they had a much more like horse-like head, short back legs, big, heavy clawed front legs. There were several species of Calicotherium. There's several groups, family groups of Calicotherium. But they look like a horse and a gorilla had a baby. I kid you not.
Huh. Why can't I? I can't. I played a lot of Ark. I don't remember.
Calicotheriums. So he could have seen that too. You know, I'm not saying there's a time slip episode coming up. But let's do the time slip again. No. It's just, you know, a jump to the left.
Oh, these guys.
Calicotheriums.
Yeah, they're big.
They can be. They're not all species were big, but there were certainly some giant bruisers.
That fits the description very well.
Mm-hmm. Main too, like, yeah. So it could have been a Calicotherium. But, I mean, literally, that would have to be the only option I would have for that to end up in just, what did I say, Colorado? Is that where he's at?
Lucas. When that was the one who wrote us the paper.
Yeah, I think it was, no.
No. Oh, he was from California,
the
paper.
I think they're both from Colorado. I think it was just an interesting thing. Anyways,
synchronicity.
Wherever Lucas is from, for a Calicotherium to be out there living, it would have the only option I'd have is time slip.
Time slip, yeah. There's no way that one's.
They didn't survive very long.
Yeah,
but they were from the early like Pleistocene, I believe.
Okay, eating grubs off the floor.
Yeah, horse. Floor. I think they're related to horses.
Okay, that's a scary looking horse.
Yeah, no, they murdered things. Don't get me wrong.
So that on Ark they were cool until you just like stabbed them with a spear and then they
threw poop at you.
Did they? Those guys did. Mm-hmm.
Those just like the gorillas.
Oh, okay. I knew they, but man, yeah, they mess you up.
Ready for the next one?
Yeah.
In the monkey man face in the window story, I'd only like to clarify that I couldn't define it. And with the screen, I was personally notorious for removing the screen on the window with them being so high up.
Lucas.
And me being young. I like to watch things drop out of them. Keep in mind, I attached sketch. Is a very rough sketch, and I'm not an artist, but I tried my best to illustrate the more gorilla-seeming eye ridge, gibbon nose, and mouth protuberances. Yes. It wasn't a snout, however, slightly exaggerated them. I remember the pupils absorbing the light, but being unable to see behind the shadowy brow ridge in the shape of the eyes. It was covered in a black fur with a slightly brownish-black complex on the face. A complexion, I'm sorry. With all this said, I was probably 7 or 8 at the time, my memory, and I wanted to forget it for a long time because I had already extremely violent and detailed nightmares that kept me from sleeping, possibly related to the entities in the house. So yeah, there's the monkey man. Not good. Not friendly.
Didn't sound good.
Giant black void eyes.
I'm your friend. All to watch you and look over you, son.
All to watch you sleep.
So, yeah.
Now, before I continue, we'll do our Flavors of the Forest ad. Good. Are you ready?
I was born ready. I'm starving.
All right, here we go.
Welcome to the latest episode of Cooking with J-Clone 77. And today I'm joined by a special guest, the Veggie Man. Say hello, Veggie Man. So you've got a special treat for us today. You're going to be cooking a new veggie dish, a vegan dish for us today. And what do you got on the menu? Ooh, artichoke asparagus spread, eh? Now, I don't particularly like this, but I'm going to go on a limb and give it a try. Oh my goodness. It's delicious. What's the secret ingredient?
Zazerp, zazerp.
Flavors of the Forest Bigfoot breath?
Zazerp.
Raw garlic dust?
Zazerp.
Wow. They freeze dry the highest quality of ingredients raw to capture the flavor you won't find in stores?
Zazerp.
Wow. Thank you, Veggie Man. I'm going to add this to my kitchen. That's Bigfoot breath by Flavors of the Forest. You can get yours at flavorsforest.com, and you can cook flavorsforest.com/corn, and you can cook just like the Veggie Man. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing some more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she's decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over the 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. My dog Grace loves it. She just gobbles it up. Go check out Badlands Ranch. You can get there at badlandsranch.com/corncrew and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular priced order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/corncrew today.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Oh, man.
And we're back. Veggie Man.
Veggie Man. I can't read. I can't not read. I didn't read anything on that. I can't speak.
Yeah, I can tell.
That's bad.
Veggie Man did a great job, though.
It was delicious, not going to lie. I mean, my clone brethren told me.
All right, so ready to get to more entities in the house?
And yes, we're sticking in Lucas's house?
Yep. The light phenomena occurred last year. It's not in his house. The light phenomena occurred last year and was one of the few odd encounters in the area surrounding the near Sunset Crater in Wapakak National Monument. It's the favorite spot of the world to hunt mule deer. Mm-hmm. I had another encounter with a cryptid best described with the aid of the animated TV show that had a character that closely looked like the thing I'm referencing. I spent a lot of time out there and was always armed with the Kimber Camp Guard. In 10 millimeter, but yeah,
right. Yeah, he didn't say.
And enjoyed the woods, and to give up the regardless the encounter or unfortunate events that happened to me in these areas. Must have had a typo in my original email. Jupiter Flats was supposed to be Jupiter Flats, as in the tree. Okay, that's what he's saying. Thank you guys again for sharing my story. You're more than welcome to share any of this. I really love you guys. Below is the rough sketch. Ah. Lots of love, Lucas.
Thank you, Lucas.
Yeah, we'll talk.
We got this sketch. Is that something
I'll put it on the Facebook.
Okay, it's on Facebook. Okay, so check out the Facebook page. You know, Crips of the Corn podcast.
This looks like a horrible thing to be peeking into your window.
He kind of drew him like a little, like he is kind of friendly though, didn't he?
But see, like actually somebody on, I should have looked it up before this episode. It's funny enough, somebody just commented on Lucas's original episode about the smiling phenomena in primates.
Okay.
So a lot of primatologists, anthropologists, you know, all these people that study humans and primates argue about this. It's a weird thing, smiling. Because it's the universal sign in humans. There's only two universal signs in humans. Do you know that?
What, smiling?
Between all races?
Yeah, smiling and thumbs up.
No.
Oh.
Smiling and frowning.
Oh, okay.
Mm. It's both the same thing. You know, yeah. We may frown a little differently. Every individual frowns differently, but
right.
These are built-in emotions, like babies.
Facial expressions that...
Brand new babies will frown and smile.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a taught thing. It's something that we instinctively know means happy, no means sad, hurt, you know.
Right.
It's the simplest way to express a basic emotion. every other primate except us, smiling is bad.
Hmm.
It's either threatening you, showing there's danger, all kinds of things.
Not even primates, like all mammals almost.
It's a lot. Like, horses show their teeth to be fun. Like, it's not just, I'm talking specifically for primates.
Okay.
So this is a primatologist argument that why did humans make the switch?
Because we're not primates.
Well, I mean, we are, but it's whatever you want to say. But why did humans make the switch fundamentally? You know, it's interesting. So is this thing more human or is the smiling a really bad thing?
Yeah.
Ooh. You know, because it's, in my opinion, it's a bad thing. Because every, like you said, most other animals, if you see their teeth,
yeah,
it's not good. Like when hyenas smile,
yeah,
it's not happy. Oh.
Sometimes when a dog smiles, though, it's good.
Yeah, because they're mimicking us, right?
Yeah.
We had a dog that smiled.
Yeah.
It just did the face pullback.
He
didn't know what he was doing.
It's the goofiest, funniest smile
Doug
ever.
Smiled. Doug smiled.
Yeah. When dogs do it, yeah. But I mean, literally just showing their teeth,
they smile. Yeah.
Yeah.
So with this thing, I don't think it's good. I really just think it was I don't know if it's intimidation. That's a big thing with primates.
Maybe he's just excited.
Hey, I get to murder a little boy tonight.
Yeah.
Yay.
You want to play some video games?
I'm going to wear you like a hat. No, don't ever. I don't know. Do you think this was a Bigfoot? I mean, it's 20 foot off the ground. Remember, it's the second wind story.
That's the only thing that, normally I would say yes.
Like I don't remember what we said it was last time. But that deep, heavy set brow ridge.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of the markers, yes, indicate that, but also it kind of reminds me of the Willard UFO thing.
I was literally just about to say that with the monkey man abducting the one kid.
Yeah.
Because it was the mummy abducted one kid, and then the other brother would see
the monkey man abducted. Did they say the mummy abducted, or that just what they caught looking in the window?
It was just what they caught looking in. It's been several years since we did Willard.
But the one did describe the monkey man
and the
taking
one had
him.
The mummy.
Yeah.
Because each brother seen a different entity going to the same spot.
Yeah. But the one seeing the monkey man taking him, his brother, in the sleep. The other one saw that.
And it's hard because, we've been doing this a while now. How many primate-esque entities are there?
Yeah, I know.
I mean, even when we talk about inside of Bigfoot, there are many different phenomena lumped into Bigfoot alone.
Yeah.
Which I think we both agree that Bigfoot, just the term Bigfoot, if you've seen a Bigfoot, it could be several different things you've seen.
Exactly, yeah.
Whether it's a mountain giant, an actual flesh and blood Bigfoot.
Or just a forest elemental spirit.
Yeah.
Wandering through the woods trying to get your attention. Or trying to get you out.
Yeah, yeah. And aliens and stuff like that. The screen memories. Whatever aliens
Ooh,
are.
Ooh, yeah. You know? Screen memories, yeah.
That's when I really wonder if this was a screen memory and it was a gray peeking in. Or, more of these other extramental and extratimental, I can't talk today.
That's close enough.
Entities. Yeah. That's why I should have had a beer.
Oh, here we go again.
A lemonade, I mean.
Huh?
A lemonade.
Oh, lemonade.
That's what I pulled on you last week.
Yeah, you want a lemonade? Sure. Two beers. Not what I was
lemonade
expecting.
Lemonade flavored.
Yeah.
I really don't know. And it's interesting this came back in because... And 2 weeks after this, we're doing Monsters Under the Bed.
Ooh, like that movie Little Monsters?
No, they're not little.
Do you know that movie, though?
No.
Oh, they're not little in the Little Monsters either.
Then why are they called Little Monsters?
That's just the name of the movie. It's with Howie Mandel and Fred Savage.
I'm also working on, this is a good thought. If anybody can send me, it doesn't have to be your personal stories. I'd love them if they were kids with Sasquatch. I'm working on a big special episode with that.
Okay.
I'm having trouble weeding some of those out because there's literally so much Sasquatch stuff out there. But we have the Ohio ones. I can literally read from the books over there. Bigfoot's watching kids and stuff like that. I want to do a special episode about that.
I think Chuck Close has a good novel about kids.
Who's Chuck Close?
Not Chuck Close. He's an artist. Sorry. Chuck Tingle.
Oh my gosh. It's funny that you said that. Because literally, Kryptonauts was just talking about him this week.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, we were on the Tingle train way before.
3 years ago, because of Apple.
Yeah. Or the Amazon, yeah.
No, so, Lucas, thank you again for sharing.
I like the follow-up. The follow-up
helps.
Helps a lot. It paints a better I guess version, not version of the story, but
no, because we ask completes, questions and he answered the questions.
Yeah, completes a lot of things.
Because we can't interview everybody. You know, we're not an interview style podcast right, for the most part. We will
interview people, but
it's hard with our schedules and stuff like that. So this isn't perfect.
Enjoyed this
to Ohio Bigfoot Jamboree.
Yep. How Bigfoot Jamboree, come out October 5th. Get your tickets if you'd like to see some speakers. If you don't want to hear speakers,
take a minute.
Okay, we got the speaker speaking. Yours truly, Crips of the Corn, will be giving a speech. And all those talks will be kind of Bigfoot central, you know, kind of Bigfoot focus, relatively.
Yeah.
I
don't know what you mean relatively. They will be.
Okay. I didn't know if some were kind of mostly Bigfoot, but deviate, like if...
Well, yeah. Joel's like, maybe.
So, yes, we're speaking first, or we're speaking, one of the first speakers were announced. Joel Thomas, a friend of the show, been on here many times, speaking about Bigfoot and Dogman documentaries that he's worked on.
Yeah, he's done a lot of documentaries. Sasquatch and the Missing Man.
Yep.
The Dogman, Expedition Dogman.
Yep. So he has experience of being out in the field filming these documentaries and
actually having this stuff happen to him while they're filming.
Yep. So he's going to share all those experiences and that process with you. Mm-hmm. Third, we have, I'm going to save. Okay. We got Jake Dressel. Third.
Dressel.
No, Dressel.
Dressel.
Jake Dressel. There's no K or C or anything in his last name. Jake Dressel. He's got a cool hat and he's also a local researcher in Ohio in the Dayton area. And he it's putting together a presentation, I think, based around his initial sighting.
I think so.
And then expanding on that, which Jake...
We're pretty open people. I just ask everybody to tell me the title of their presentation and keep it Ohio Bigfoot related.
Right, yeah.
Jake's was in Ohio. It was literally, you said, it was in Dayton.
In Dayton.
15 minutes from where we're sitting.
He's gathered a lot since he had
his
experience.
Both.
They both experienced something separately. Leah. Yep. Leah. They both... have gathered since their experience, gathered information and accounts and things like that of this area. But what made his experience special is the creature he saw was not like a 6 to 7 foot tall Bigfoot. It was of the shorter variety.
You could punt it to death.
Maybe if you're a good punter. I bet you better get it on the first kick because I don't know.
Unless you knock him down the first kick, then the third kick will kill it.
Yeah. Yes. Hopefully. So that's three of the speakers. Number four, John Hickenbottom.
The best mustache in Ohio.
That's true. And he's the Ohio State naturalist, right?
Yeah, he's an Ohio State naturalist. He works at Salt Fork State Park.
Correct.
One of the most Bigfooty places in Ohio.
In Ohio, correct. Yes.
So, good friend of ours. He's another salamander lover.
Absolutely.
He's a reptile lover, too. A herpetologist,
yes. He builds vernal pools.
Yes, successfully, yes. Which is a very hard thing.
That's true. So John's going to... Just having somebody that's in, like, the Ohio State, you know...
So they funnel a lot of the Bigfoot stuff to him. He's one of the guys...
Really?
That, yeah, yeah. So he's going to talk about some of that. So, like, if you... Because there was a bunch of stuff being, sent to the Ohio DNR or the Ohio Natural Resources. And so John kind of ended up in that job. John's a very talented man in his field. And I'm super excited to have him talk about... Literally, the state Bigfoot guy is kind of what he's been referred to several times.
And like you say, he's talented and very knowledgeable.
Oh, so, extremely.
And then, so that's four speakers. And our fifth, last but not least, probably our most famous speaker, B. Mills.
The hardest working woman in Sasquatch. The only female Sasquatch researcher of the year twice in a row.
Yep.
I mean, she's the only female ever. And she won it twice in a row.
So that's saying something there.
She's an incredibly accomplished woman. We love her to death. She puts on the biggest cryptid conference in the country.
Which is a Hocking Hills Bigfoot Festival.
Which we are very blessed to be speakers at this year.
This year, coming up in August.
Yeah.
I think it's the first weekend of August.
Literally 2 months before ours.
Yep.
It's a good halfway mark.
And so B hosts that. She sets that all up. She's amazing. She's an author. And she's giving a presentation.
Don't say what it is.
I'm not.
Okay.
But one that has not been.
It's a brand new presentation for this event.
Brand new to the public. Well, really brand new to everyone. It hasn't been announced or it hasn't been given yet.
She hasn't even made it yet. So
she's debuting it at the Ohio Bigfoot Jamboree October 5th.
Yeah. And she'll have her book for sale and stuff. And I highly recommend everybody get it. The night we went Bigfooting with her,
Yeah.
We didn't have an experience, and Emily ended up having one. That was kind of funny.
That was kind of weird.
Well, all the Bigfooters go off a couple miles, and Emily sits back at tent, and she's like, yeah, I can hear you guys calling Bigfoot. That wasn't us. Oh.
That's kind of weird.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm super excited. Like I said, this is our first time trying our hand at this. We wanted to bring something like this to our home, and it's funny that the week we announced this, all the Bigfoot started popping up around Ada.
That's weird, yeah.
It's just synchronicity, because library got one, a couple churches got one.
You said it. Your favorite word.
Huh.
Synchronicity.
Did I say it?
You did.
Oh, okay, yeah. Emma's the one that hates that.
Oh, I thought it was you.
No, because we watched Hellier, and they said it 500 times, and
gosh. Like, yeah, that's enough.
Yeah, don't watch Hellier.
Oh, okay.
I really think it's a ritual.
Might be.
I think it involves you.
All television is a ritual. All of it is a ritual. Throw your TVs out.
Wait, different... Oh. Somebody else.
Huh?
Is that... I think I heard Wilbur in the back. That closet coming out.
Yeah, sorry. He's there.
Quiet back there.
Lock the door.
No, so super excited. Anybody got questions about the event? Like I said, we're still looking for some live music. There's still some spots available. And like I said, this first year, I won't be able to pay anybody. But if you want to do the tip jar thing, that's kind of the premise we're working on. There'll be a little stage area we're going to build. This is going to be a fun time. We enjoy doing these so much around the country. We just really wanted to bring one home, and we're going to have a ball.
Absolutely.
You buy your tickets. Make sure you check online. Make sure you watch for the Eventbrite email about the Friday night location and the events will be going on there. We're working on some truly amazing stuff for that Friday night event.
Yes.
Not only are we going to meet the speakers and stuff, like hang out with them, but there you may see some stuff nobody else has ever seen before.
Very few.
Very few. All right. I have been the great and powerful Mystery.
And I've been Jaclyn 71.
We'll catch you next week, guys.
Bye.
Hey, guys. Thank you for listening to Cryptids of the Corn podcast. Remember, the best way to support the show is share it with a friend. But if you are craving more of the J clones
and more from Mr. E,
there's always extra content on Patreon
and our paid member space on cryptidsofthecorn.com.
We'll catch you next time with more exciting, fun, and informative information.
Bye. Bye.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.